You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Thank you for joining The Healthy Way. I am Dr. Roy Spicer, biochemist and water quality specialist with Clean Water Revival in Stuart, Florida, with my co-host Kim Jones, pharmacist with Prescription and Wellness Shop of Stuart, Florida. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roy Spicer. I want to welcome you to our first show, The Healthy Way. I'm here with my co-host, Kim Jones. Since it's our first show, I'd like to give you a little background about myself. I was a holistic care practitioner in Long Island, New York for over 35 years. Prior to that, I was a bacteriologist for the New Jersey State Department of Health and a biochemist for 5 years at Ortho Pharmaceutical. Currently, I hold a Level 5 certification as a water quality specialist, and my company, Clean Water Revival, is located in Stuart, Florida. My main objective is to create a non-toxic, healthy indoor environment to protect you from toxins and to create a healthy level of health for you in your home. My co-host, Kim Jones, is here, and she'd like to talk to you about her background.
Hi there. I'm Kim Jones, a pharmacist who's been practicing on the Treasure Coast for almost 20 years. My background includes working within chain and mail order pharmacies, as well as specialty and independent community pharmacy. Currently, I am the owner of the Prescription Shop and Wellness Center of Stuart, where my staff and I are committed to caring for members of the community like they are family.
Today, we're going to talk about the importance of clean, safe water being healthy and how environmental contaminants in our water impact our health. Unfortunately, we live in a toxic world where exposure to dangerous contaminants occur every day in our air, food, and water, and cumulatively affect our health. Our health is constantly under siege from environmental toxins, processed foods that contain chemicals, pesticides, electromagnetic, and other types of radiation. Exposure to toxic contaminants over a period of years negatively impacts our health. So what's in our water? What's the clean water that we're getting out of the tap? Is it really clean? Basically, the water that you get out of your tap meets federal standards. And what are federal standards? They're established by the Clean Water Drinking Act. In the act, it states that there are certain regulated contaminants and certain levels of these contaminants are allowed. And they establish maximum concentration levels of these contaminants. First, for example, we have to disinfect our water because if we don't disinfect it, we'll be exposed to disease-causing bacteria. And that's pretty standard in the industry. All municipal treatment companies have to disinfect the water. The chemical that they use is primarily chlorine, and the newer disinfection chemical that's being used is called chloramine, which is a combination of chlorine and ammonia. So certain levels are maintained to keep the bacteria from growing in the pipes and reaching your home. So it makes the water clean and safe and potable. Potable means it's free of disease-causing organisms. However, as the disinfection chemicals move down the pipes, they can combine with organic material and form byproducts. These byproducts, and we'll get a little technical, are called haloacetic acids and trihalomethanes. It's a group of chemicals that are byproducts of the chlorination process. When it reaches your home, these chemicals, you're exposed to them, you're drinking them, and also when you bathe in them, you can absorb trihalomethanes through your skin and breathe them in as a gas. So there are certain contaminants that are in the water that are not necessarily healthy for you. So even though the water is legally meeting standards, it exposes you to low levels of these contaminants. And over a period of time, we're talking about years and decades, they can increase certain types of cancer risks. So the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, has listed the trihalomethanes as Class B carcinogens, which means in animal studies, they increase the risk of certain types of cancer, like bladder and bowel cancer. So what we want to do is not be exposed to these chemicals as much as possible. In addition, there are other contaminants that are found in some municipal water. They're found in the wells, and unfortunately, many industries have dumped contaminants into the ground, chemicals, agriculture has dumped chemicals into the ground, and even pharmaceuticals are being found in drinking water. For decades, these toxic wastes have been getting into our water supplies, and now they're coming back up in our drinking water. Recently, there was an Associated Press investigation, and they found, from researching all the studies, that pharmaceuticals were found in drinking water. In actuality, there were 46 different medications that were found in U.S. drinking water supplies. This affects over 41 million people who are drinking water contaminated with very small quantities of pharmaceuticals. And I asked Kim, why are these drugs getting into the water supply? And she gave me a very good answer.
Roy, I'm glad you brought that up. As a pharmacist, we get calls all the time with people that have unused medications. Sometimes they're just no longer taking the medication. A loved one's passed away and they have a plethora of medications left over and they don't know what to do with them. Do not flush those down your toilet or put those down your drain. I beg of you. Roy just gave you the reason why I ask you not to do that. We also ask that you really don't just dump them in your trash, because we all know that animals can get in the trash, kids can get in the trash, homeless people can get in your trash, and they could be contaminated with these medications that are very harmful to someone that does not need to be taking them. What I do recommend to my patients, we cannot take them back in the pharmacy, but I know in my pharmacy, I do have these pill packs that we can give you. Some pharmacies sell them where they are equipped for you to bring home. It's almost like a Ziploc bag, but they do have some agents in there that help destroy the medication. So if it's pills or capsules, you would put those in there. It walks you through the steps of adding water to it, let it sitting for so long so it can break down those medications, and then you can dispose it in the trash. What I really recommend to people is trying to find a local take back program. I know locally our sheriff's department has a drop box where people can take unused medications and drop it in. So I do urge people in your community, just reach out. A sheriff's department is usually a great place to start to see if they do have a drop box, a community health center, the health department, the fire department. Different communities have different places where you can drop them off. But I do want people to know there are resources out there for proper disposal of their medications.
Well, pharmaceuticals are one of the many contaminants that have been found in drinking water supplies. And what I want to point out is that when you turn on your tap, again, the water municipalities meet federal standards. So you can have safe water, you can have clean water. However, in many cases, there are trace amounts of toxic substances in the water that accumulate in your body over a period of years and decades that can impact your health. For example, arsenic. Now, if you look at the federal standards 30 years ago, they allowed 50 parts per billion of arsenic in the water. Today, the standard has changed. They only allow 10 parts per billion of arsenic in the water. Now, arsenic is a toxic heavy metal, and in some cases, just naturally occurring. It could be dumped in the water by certain industries, but generally, it's naturally occurring. So, for example, when you look at a water report, and we look at water reports every day, it's like reading a blood test, and it tells you what's in the water because municipalities have to test the water regularly. That's required by federal law. So I pulled up one of the reports from Fort Lauderdale, for example, and I'm not just picking on them. I'm just using it as an example. And they found or detected in their water from a half a part to 1.3 parts per billion of arsenic. In addition, they found radium-226 and 228 at low levels. There was barium in the water, trace amounts, and fluoride. In many cases, fluoride is added to the water as a way of preventing dental decay. And we'll talk about fluoride a little bit more further in the show. It's a toxin. It's a neurotoxin. There's over 100 studies that show that it's toxic to various organs in your body. It's a controversial subject, but it's added to the water. In some cases, it's naturally occurring. So getting back to the other contaminants like the chloramine and chlorine, there's a lot of studies that show that it's very toxic at even low levels, at levels below what the government allows. Both THMs and HAAs have carcinogenic effects, but the evidence is strongest against trihalomethanes, particularly chloroform. And this has led the EPA to classify THMs as Class B probable carcinogens. So even at low levels, human studies point to associations between trihalomethanes and reproductive problems, stillbirths and miscarriages at high levels of trihalomethanes. Potentially it could lead to heart, lung, liver, and kidney damage, and an increased risk of bladder and colorectal cancer. Haloacetic acids, the other group of disinfection byproducts, have been linked to liver disease, neurological problems, cancer, and reproductive abnormalities. So again, the point of bringing this up to you is that you're exposed to low levels of toxic contaminants when you drink water coming from municipal treatment. It's not every municipal treatment company. These are some of the contaminants found across the country. It varies from municipality to municipality. So the only way to find out what's really in your water is to pull up a water quality report. So every day I look up water quality reports for clients. We look up the town. So for example, you could put in Martin County water quality report, and you'll see a report there for 2017. And you go down a few pages, and it'll list all the contaminants that they detected on the left-hand side. And then it will tell you the maximum concentration level that's allowed. Then it tells you the range of contaminant found and the average. So in most cases, their average is below the MCL or allowable concentration. So they're meeting the federal requirements. They maintaining their status in terms of delivering potable, what they call clean water or allowable water. But is it really safe? Is it really healthy? Now, water is critical for all your life processes. We need water as a nutrient. We need water to hydrate our body. We need a certain amount of water every day. And without water, you're going to die over a period of several days. You have to have water. It's a absolute necessity for life. And in a normal environment, an average person requires a minimum of 2 quarts, possibly 3 quarts of clean water per day. In a hot environment, more water is required, even up to a gallon a day. So we have to have clean, safe water. And a lot of individuals who have health issues are susceptible to certain contaminants that can affect them very negatively. For example, if you have a weakened immune system, if you have cancer and you're under treatment, you don't want to be drinking water, surface water, that has parasites in it. Parasites are very common in surface water sources, and these parasites such as Cryptosporidium and Giardia can be very damaging and very harmful to people who have weakened immune systems. So we have to be aware that water has to be clean and safe, and that we need to have enough water every day. Otherwise, you'll get dehydration. And dehydration is a very dangerous state of health, because if you're dehydrated, you could have neurological symptoms, and it could become life-threatening at a certain point. So we must hydrate enough. And one of the things we found that a lot of elderly people, they don't hydrate enough because they're afraid they have to go to the bathroom frequently. So you must maintain your hydration. It's critical to your health. You have any comments about that, hydration, Kim?
Yeah, it seems like in the elderly, that is one of the most common things that we find is exactly what you said. They don't realize how dehydrated they are is the other thing. You know, it for some of them to actually have to get up and go use the restroom when they feel like they're overhydrating, but that's something they need to do is keep their water flowing in. We have noticed that in the elderly that are dehydrated, we see a higher incidence of urinary tract infections with those patients. So, and I don't think they realize how bad they feel when they're not hydrated. And a lot of people don't realize that they're not properly hydrated. But it's something everybody needs to pay attention to. And not just the elderly, I find that kids are dehydrated a lot as well. We're not giving them water. A lot of times we're giving them different juices or soda, smoothies, milkshakes, a lot of things that are out there nowadays. But we need to be sure that the kids, especially here in South Florida, are being properly hydrated as well. They're out there sweating and playing, so a lot of it's being sweated out.
Well, a lot of people are looking for clean water, and they're concerned about the quality of their water. And there's a number of ways to obtain clean water. In addition to filtering your water, people buy billions of dollars worth of bottled water every year, and that can be problematic. One of the things we found is a big study that was done by the National Resource Defense Council, and they studied and tested over 100 bottled waters. And what they found generally was that about 60% of the bottled waters that you purchase on the shelf had contaminants that were commonly found in drinking water. About 30-40% were good bottled waters. And the problem with bottled water is severalfold. Number one, it generally comes in plastic bottles. And soft plastics can leach compounds called hormone disruptors, particularly BPA, bisphenol A, and phthalates. And they've been classified as hormone disruptors. So these plastics that leach out from containers, it's not only bottled water. You can get takeout Chinese food containers. They leach plastics. And these plastic chemicals are very harmful to the body. They act like hormones, estrogens in particular, and that can increase risk of breast cancer. In men, it creates hormone problems in terms of prostate problems. And you don't want to be drinking a lot of plastic or using plastic bottles frequently. Bottled water is expensive. A lot of bottled waters are several dollars per gallon, some of the better ones. And it's questionable sometimes the quality of water. So there are alternatives to getting clean water. Bottled water is one, but it's not a full use solution. So what we found is that putting a proper filter at the sink and sometimes the whole house will clean the water up and give you absolutely close to 99%+ clean water. There are a lot of filtration systems on the market. You go online, there's so many claims that are being made for filtration systems. What we found is that the best way to clean the water up is first find out what's in your water by getting a water report, going to a water quality specialist that has certification, and having them evaluate the water reports or test the water if it's a well. You want to test the water thoroughly. Find out what contaminants are in the water and design a system that's thorough in terms of the technologies used, not just carbon, but you may need special filter materials. So say if you had uranium in the water, or you have arsenic in the water, you have to use special resin sometimes or special equipment. Some people use reverse osmosis. There's other ways of getting the water cleaned up. There's different types of carbon filters. There are carbon filters combined with other technologies. So you really have to research it a little bit, not just take everything per se what's found out on the web, because a lot of these claims are really not documented and they make a lot of inflated claims. So water technology and filtration is a complex area. Certain contaminants are difficult to get out, like fluoride, so there's special filter materials you can use. Fluoride today that's used is not the same fluoride that's used in your dentist. It's not sodium fluoride. It's a chemical called fluorosilicic acid. So it's more difficult to remove than the old-type fluoride. So some of the technologies have changed to remove it. Reverse osmosis is one way, but there are other methods to get fluoride out. And we have some research on that. So in terms of a solution to get clean water, there's a lot of options out there. And if you have any questions, you can reach us at the studio now. The number here is 888-221-8990. Again, you can reach us toll-free at 888-221-8990. We'll take your calls and any questions you have. Is there anything you want to add to that as far as the plastics, Kim?
No, I do like that you're giving us some ideas on how to ensure safer, cleaner water, and it sounds like we need to educate ourselves a little bit before we just jump online and order a clean filtration water system off the internet delivered to our door next day. So could you maybe go over again a little bit of what people could do to ensure safer, cleaner water in their house?
Well, first is the sink. You know, that's where most of your contaminants are ingested. Your drinking water, rinsing and cooking water, iced coffee and tea. So you really need a thorough filter system at the sink. That's your basic core filtration unit. And again, there's a number of options. Generally, if you buy an off-the-shelf carbon filter, it's not going to be enough. So generally, it won't take out all the contaminants that may be in your water. And we have our first caller. Hello, you're on the Healthy Way. Can I answer a question?
Oh, yes. Hi there. I have a question. My name is Lisa, and I have a pour-through pitcher, and I was just wondering, what is the best filter system for chemicals and heavy metals?
Well, what you have is a basic entry-level filter system, There's a number of them out on the market. They do a lot of advertising, and they do take out some contaminants. They'll take out chlorine, bad taste and odor. Some of them take out lead. It varies depending on the pour-through pitcher. But you really need to step up the filtration technology to remove contaminants. For example, pour-through pitchers do not take out parasites. They generally don't remove fluoride. So in terms of what's in your water and what the best filter is, you first should get a water analysis. Look at, you know, you can call an expert. And there are a lot of people out there like ourselves that look at water reports, and then we could devise or design a system at the sink that's effective for the contaminants that are in your water. But generally, pour-through pitchers are really entry-level, and it's not going to be enough for most of the contaminants in the general water, municipal water systems to remove them. So if you have any further questions, you can reach us at our 800 number, which is 800-444-3563. Mm-hmm. You can reach me at that number, 800-444-3563. Then we can look up your water report and design a system that may be effective for you.
Okay, that is great. I will do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So again, the amount of information that's out on the internet and generally through advertising really doesn't get into the specifics of the exact technologies and filter equipment that will be the best for you. It'll give you some general information, and it's hard to put together for the average person. So generally, someone who's a water quality specialist, I'm a water quality specialist trained by the Water Quality Association. There are a lot of companies out there that have water quality specialists, and they can review your water issues and water reports. Or if, like I said, if you have a well, you should test the well, particularly for iron, hardness, a range of heavy metals, TDS, which is total dissolved solids, and arsenic and uranium. These are sometimes common contaminants found in wells across the United States. In Florida, iron and hardness are general issues, but there are areas that have other contaminants that need to be addressed. For example, a rotten egg smell, which is hydrogen sulfide. That's a nasty contaminant. It can really be unpleasant. It can overwhelm you sometimes if it's very high, and that has to be treated a little bit differently than an average filter. A carbon filter just can't handle it at the sink. So you need to have that evaluated. We have another caller. Hello, you're on the Healthy Way. It's Dr. Spizer. How may I answer your question?
Hi, doctor. This is Vic from Port St. Lucie. I know you're talking about drinking water, but I've recently moved to the area, and from up north I had well water. But I've noticed since I've come here that my skin just will not stop itching. And I'm just wondering, you know, what in the water might have to do with that.
Well, municipal water is different than well water. First thing is, it's either chlorinated or they add chloramine. And chlorine acts like an acid. It breaks down the byproducts. Some of them are hypochlorous acid is one of them. And it can strip oils off your skin. It's like swimming pool water to some degree. Not as intense as swimming pool water, but chlorine in the drinking water and showering and bathing can strip oils off your skin. Some people already have skin conditions that could aggravate it, and it can burn your eyes. At higher levels, when it becomes a gas, the byproducts like trihalomethanes, they can irritate the lung tissue. Some people have had allergic reactions. We get respiratory problems when the levels are very high and it becomes a gas. So you need to look at the chlorine and chloramine levels and get a system. Shower filters are one step in the right direction. They're not going to help you with chloramine, but chloramine they will reduce. And generally a whole house system, a filtration system on the main pipe will remove all the chemicals that, particularly the chlorine and chloramine and the byproducts, and that would basically solve your problem. So if you want any additional, I'm sorry?
So something much larger than just something at my sink.
Yes, yeah, you need to remove everything at the point of entry. The point of entry is where the main pipe comes in to the house, and all the chemicals, all the water would go through a filtration tank, and the chemicals would be absorbed. So this way, all your showers, your baths, all your sinks would have a chemical-free water. So this way, you wouldn't be exposed to any of these acidic chemicals, and it wouldn't strip oils off your skin and eliminate the problem. Right, well, thank you for calling. Okay. If you want any further information, you can reach us at 800-444-3563. Thank you for your call.
Roy, you've listed a lot of things about tap water today that has been very interesting to me because I drink tap water a lot. Actually, I drink it through a filtrated system through my refrigerator, but now I think I'm going to rethink some of that even. Can I ask, what's the most misconception about the water that comes out of our tap? What's the most common misconceptions?
Well, there's an article I wrote called The Myth of Clean Water, which was published in Green Med Info. And the myth of clean water is that people assume that since the municipalities meet federal standards, the water is clean and safe. That's basically what I've been talking about for the last 20 minutes. And they don't understand, for the most part, that even though you don't taste some of these contaminants, you don't smell some of these contaminants, they're potentially in the water. A lot of chemicals, particularly like lead, a heavy metal, you can't taste. And Flint, Michigan was a outrageous example of negligence in the water treatment industry. They didn't treat the water properly. They were taking it out of the Flint River, didn't put an anti-corrosive in, and it started leaching lead out of the mains, the old main pipes. Thousands of individuals and children were exposed to high levels of lead, which will be in their bodies pretty much the rest of their lives. So we have issues with the infrastructure in the United States. We have old main pipes that are breaking down. A lot of them are corroding. You have breaks periodically in some areas of the United States where the mains break down. They leach contaminants into the water. If you've ever had a boil alert, it's not common, but a boil alert means there's some bacteria in the water and they superchlorinate it till they kill all the bacteria and find out where the leak is. So the entire infrastructure delivery system in the United States needs to be repaired, and we just don't have enough money. It's not, you know, we talk about infrastructure, but water delivery systems around the United States are breaking down, and we are really not getting enough clean water. It's getting worse. So in essence, our water supplies underground are being attacked. They're under siege by all these industrial chemicals getting into water, agricultural runoff. Now we have fracking, which is going to impact our future water sources. And what I'm concerned about, and scientists are concerned about, all these contaminants are increasing in levels. New contaminants are showing up. And, for example, this newer contaminant called PFOA, which is a fire retardant, is showing up in a couple areas. There's a few areas that have toxic waste sites identified by the EPA that have PFOA. It's a very severe carcinogen, and it's dangerous to people's health, so they've shut down water systems already with it in it. And these are some of the emerging contaminants that are coming in to the water supplies after years and decades of dumping from industries. So the real myth, the misunderstanding, is that our water supply is totally clean and healthy. It meets standards. However, a lot of these contaminants are not regulated, and we're being exposed to them.
Well, thank you, Roy. I feel like I've learned a lot today about something I do every day, which is drink a lot of water. I think we're about to run out of time, so we probably need to wrap it up here today. We would like to thank you for joining us on The Healthy Way. Join us next Tuesday at 1 p.m., where my co-host, Dr. Roy Spicer, and I, Kim Jones, pharmacist, will discuss hurricane preparedness and safety. If you missed any part of the show, check us out online at WCNO.com for additional questions. We can be reached at 800-444-3563. Again, that's 800-444-3563.
And also, we'll be bringing in guests in future shows. These will be experts in various health fields, on nutrition, holistic healing, and we're going to try to bring you in more information about natural healing and how to stay well in a toxic world. Thank you for being with us today.
Additionally, if there's any topics that someone would maybe like covered, please call that 800 number I gave you. You can reach us here and let us know maybe a topic that you would like us to discuss in the future.
You have been listening today to The Healthy Way. Thank you for joining us. I am Dr. Roy Spicer of Clean Water Revival with my co-host Kim Jones of Prescription and Wellness Shop. For more information, the toll-free number is 800-444-3563. Again, 800-444-3563. See you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. for more.